Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll discuss outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me today for episode 12 of the O Woman Podcast. Choosing a partner. I really wanted to talk about this today because in addition to all of the obvious things that you look for in a life partner, there are so many other things that we don't necessarily focus on that are way more important than some of the more obvious things, like, is he handsome? Is he, you know, is he gonna work and provide money for you? And that's very important. Those are all important, but there are a lot of other aspects of thinking about him as a person that are really important to actually have a sustaining, you know, big event withstanding relationship. Now, this applies if you're looking for someone that you do want to spend your whole life with. Some people might not want a life partner. They might just want partners for portions of their lives, or they might feel like solitary life is better for them. So I'm talking specifically to women who like men, who are wanting a life partner, be it a husband or just a forever love who will stay with you and potentially raise children with you and be a reliable, caring, good man. That when in the end of your life, you can look back and think, that was a good choice. I made a good choice with him. He made a good choice with me. And I'm proud of what we accomplished together as a team. So, to start off thinking about aspects of a man that make him a really good life partner, you have to start thinking of yourself as part of a team. When you first start dating someone, it's hard to kind of go to that place and think, oh, this person could be my teammate for the rest of my life. I have to look at him as a teammate, and is he that kind of person that I would want to have in my life? Because the other variables, like how attractive he is or how good he is in bed, are the things that grab us at first, obviously. And by the time we're already hooked on this person and we really enjoy them, we may or may not have thought about the other aspects of their abilities as a partner. And some women have this issue more than others. Some women are really on the lookout for that from the very beginning, and so they won't even go out with someone who they don't perceive to be really the right kind of teammate for them. But other women will, you know, go out with someone that they are attracted to and then see what happens after that, which is a perfectly fine approach too. You just have to make sure that you're checking out their character and who you perceive of them to be in a relationship later so that you know that you're making a really nice choice. Because just because you've fallen in love with someone doesn't always mean they're the right person to spend the rest of your life with. Many times it does, because most women have super great radar about thinking about, is he going to be right for me? But some women maybe don't think of that, or they're so swept away by really, really loving this person, which is so important. Of course you should really, really love this person, and that comes first. But you have to think about yourself as one half of a team. Is he going to pull his own weight? Is he going to support me? Is he going to be the kind of person that I want to have around until I die? So one of the biggest things to me that I noticed that shows up on my radar as you start to think about partnerships that you're in, and I've had my share of partnerships that failed, that were not the right kind of partnership, even though you thought they were, and you thought, hey, this is a person I could really be with. And then I'm obviously in a partnership right now that isn't going to fail, I can just tell. And some people might think, oh, you don't know that, you're young, you're just married, you don't know that. But I know that. And I know it because of some of the things I'm going to talk about later, about the way Jason is as a person and his character and our compatibility. And so I'm not afraid of that happening. And because I'm not afraid of that happening, I'm not holding back any of myself. I'm letting loose, so is he. And so we're really with each other as who we are, because there isn't a fear that so many people have of not being together. I have faith that we will. And I'm going to just be myself, and I'm going to let him be himself, and we're just going to roll through it. So in thinking about what a great partner is going to be for you. The first big thought I have is he willing to share a life with me? So based on your relationship now, if you're not just like a month in, think about, is he acting as though he's willing to share a life with me? Now, he might not necessarily be saying, I want to share a life with you, but there are certain things that he does or certain ways that he responds to things you say or things that you do that make it clear that he's willing to be with you, to take you for who you are, and to share a life with you. For example, you've been together for years, perhaps, let's say, at least a year or something. You live in the same city, and you decide to bring up wanting to live with each other. Now, his response can be one of a few things. It could be, yeah, that sounds great. It could be, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that right now. I mean, I want to in the future, definitely, but I'm not sure if I'm ready for that right now. Or his response could be to say, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess his response could also be a flat out no, but that's a whole different story altogether. So if you're getting any of these other vibes or actual direct answers from him, think about what they might mean. So if he's saying, yes, that sounds great, you're definitely moving towards sharing a life together, because one of the big things that goes with sharing a life is sharing a space, sharing time, sharing chores, sharing all of those things that go with having a house, whether you're renting one, buying one, whatever. Now, the second answer that's, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that right now, but I want to me, that is also an acceptable answer. As long as you feel as though his reasons for not being ready yet are valid enough. You have to give him credit for having said that to you. But you also have to think, okay, is there, like, what is his reasoning? Of course you're probably going to ask him, please tell me why you're not ready right now. But if he has some valid reasons, or if his reason is, I just don't feel ready, I love you, I care about you, but I just don't feel ready, that's not a deal breaker. That doesn't mean he's not willing to commit to you and your life. That just means he might be a little nervous. That's okay. Give him some time if you can stand it. And then talk about it again. Or reiterate how much it matters to you that you live together eventually. Soonish, you know, that kind of thing. Now, the third answer. Oh, I don't know. Unless there's a follow-up conversation days or maybe weeks after that clarifies a little bit more about why he doesn't know, or that at least answers you and tells you what his answer is. Yes, I want to, but let's wait. Okay. Or, you know, I'm not sure kind of thing. Or should we live together? Are we able to live together? If you can't have a conversation about it and you hash it out with him and realize, okay, he's scared. So it's really as though he'd said, yes, I want to, but I'm scared, you know, I'm not ready right now. Or is it just some sort of strange, vague, you know, parry blocking your attempt to merge a life with him? That's a bad sign. Because depending on how long you've been together, my example was at least a year or something, he should know that you're interested in being with him forever. And at this point, if you're saying, I love you, and you're spending a lot of your time with each other, how is there really any other trajectory for your lives together than choosing to live together? In most cases, you don't have to live together, but in most cases. But now, if you don't want to live together and it's a team decision, okay, that's a totally different story, because you're still a team. You just made the decision as a team. But if you are really very much wanting to live with him, and most women want to live with the people that they love, and he's not really responding to that, that's not really a good sign, because that does not show that he's willing to blend his life with you. Another aspect of being willing to blend your life with another person is how willing you are to share things that are traditionally his. So, his family. Is he willing to share his family with you? Is he willing to share a lot of his creative ideas, or the ideas that are a lot more close to his heart, whatever they are? Is he willing to share those with you and have you bounce back some criticisms, positive and negative, for him to work on things related to his ideas? Is he exposing to you aspects of his life that are more personal and expose him more to hurt? So his family, his creative ideas, his deep beliefs about things. Is he being open about these things? This isn't going to happen immediately, of course. Some people are just very open naturally. I, for example, am. At a certain point, I think, okay, you're a special man. Here's all my information. Here's what I think about this and this and this, and this is how I feel about this and this and this. And it's just kind of a bombardment of information. But I'm a woman, and I'm very different than Jason because I'm a woman, but also because I'm just a different personality. He's a lot more of a quiet, keep information to yourself sort of person, and I'm just not. As evident by the episodes you've listened to, I'm not so inclined to keep things to myself. And is he willing to share time with you? Of course, when you're dating someone, you share time with them. But does he give you all of his leftover time, too? To me, that's such a big indicator of how embedded you are in each other's lives, or how interested he is in having you embedded in his life. So, of course, you're going to spend time together, like, going on dates and having sex and planning events to do with each other. But is all of your leftover free time still spent in his company because he just chooses that? Is his default free time? I think you should be. You should be his default free time. Because that is also sort of a transitional phase between, maybe if you don't live together and you're wanting to live together, that, of course, you are each other's default free time when you live together if you both happen to be home. And the good thing about living together is you get used to each other, so you don't even have to hang out with each other all the time when you're at home. You can do other tasks. It's not like at the beginning of a relationship when you're so into each other, all you can do is just sit with each other nonstop. You can split off and do your own thing. But are you in whatever your space in, or whatever space he has that he's invited you into, is that his default free time spent with you? It should be. Think about that. It really should be. Are most of your meals spent together? You know, are most of your nights spent together? That's a good sign, too. Now, not all of these variables together are necessarily going to mean, of course, there could be some anomalous relationships where things that to me would be very indicative of wanting to share a life together may not be somehow, because maybe your relationship is a very unique one and you run things differently, or perhaps the dude you've chosen is showing all the positive signs, but still somehow he's not willing to share a life with you. There's other things to look at, too, that can help us realize what kind of partner he's really going to be. And they're not just things that have to do with his current partnership and how he is. A lot of it has to do with his personality, because you can't just look at how he is with you, especially at the beginning of a relationship, even if it's the first year or so. Another thing I think is important to look at is how he treats and interacts with his family. This isn't as huge as some people make it out to be, I feel like. Some people really, they look at the way his father interacts with his mother and they think, oh, he's a little bit condescending and undermining to her. It's going to be the same way. No, not necessarily, but you have to think of that and just see. Think about how closely your personality aligns with his mother's in certain ways, and how close his personality aligns with his father's, and see if you think it's possible that he's going to act like his father when he grows up. Because it is. It's possible. You might act like your mother. You might act like your mother and your father together. I definitely act like both together. Pretty good combination of both of their goofy things that they have going on. Jason, to me, is a combination of neither of his parents. I don't know where his personality came from. It doesn't seem like a mix between his parents to me. They both seem very different and unique from each other and from him. It's very cool. He has a neat third personality. He has a lot of traits and a lot of ideas about how to do things in life efficiently and things like that he got from his parents, but his actual personality and his, you know, social persona don't seem to go with his parents at all. But it's important to just look at how he treats his family. So how does he actually treat his family as far as speaking about them and interacting with them when he's with them, but also, how does he feel about them and honor them when he's not with them? For example, one thing that really stood out to me about Jason when I first met him was how much he regretted not being able to go to his aunt's 50th birthday party. And I remember thinking, really? Huh. I'm not as close with my aunts as he is. I'm close with my aunts, but not quite as close, I don't think. And, I mean, he had an extensive conversation with me about it. He was like, I miss my aunt's birthday party. Here's some pictures of it. We can look at it together. This was very early on in us dating, probably the first few weeks. And I remember thinking, wow, he really likes his family. I feel like most men would not be excited about going to the 50th birthday party of their aunt. And then once I met his family, I realized, ah, I see. Okay, I'm as excited about them too. But still, it was shocking to me, and it was impressive to me, and I know that he didn't say it to be impressive. He was just sharing an opinion about missing out on his birthday party, the birthday party of his aunt. So that was something that definitely stood out to me, is how does he feel about them? And what sort of allegiance does he have to his family? He has an extremely high allegiance with both sides of his family. Very much so that the conversations, like, it's your family, you do what you have to do for your family, they're number one, have always come up. And I agree with that. And that's fantastic. And that proves to me something about his character that is a stick-to-itness, that is a loyalty, that if you determine he has this loyalty to you because you've become part of his family, either you've gotten married or not, or you're thinking about it, or you're going to be life partners, that's such a positive trait to have, because you're part of that, and you get to be at peace understanding that he's going to be loyal to you. And not only is he going to be loyal to you, hopefully in a physical way, he's going to be loyal to you in an emotional way. So he's not going to give up on the team, because he perceives of it as such a valuable structure, just like he perceives his family as valuable. You don't give up on your family. I mean, some people do, but most people, they're allied with them forever, and whether they drive them crazy or not, they don't give up on family. So if you can see that he is feeling that you're part of that family too, and that you're equal to all of his other family members, he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you easily at all. I mean, maybe if you did some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that he could not forgive you for. But he's not going to take it lightly. He's going to consider your relationship as valuable as his birth family. And that is very important. Also something to look at about his personality that I didn't think of when I was younger, because I didn't have a relationship at that point I hadn't had a relationship at that point that had fallen apart because of this variable. And now that I have, I totally recognize that it's so valuable. Is how happy is he? Not how happy is he with you. Because that has more to do with, does he like you? And is he going to spend a life with you? Like, is he willing to share his life based on how excited he is to be around you? But how happy is he by himself? And that's a weird question to answer, because you're with him, so how do you see him by himself? But you can glean these things from listening to him talk about experiences in his life, looking at his, you know, just personality and temperament. But is he happy? Because if he's not naturally happy enough, or if he's not naturally enough for himself in all ways except, a life partner. I can't be my own life partner. I would like a different one. I would like a human to love, have sex with, share life with, hopefully raise children with, you know, whatever. But if you're enough for yourself besides that, then you're happy enough. He needs to be enough for himself besides that. Now, the problem that I came up against with one of my relationships years and years ago was that he wasn't happy. The only thing that actually made him happy was spending time with me. So then it became this weird kind of a relationship where he was almost addicted to my happiness, which ended up sucking happiness from me, because when you are in charge of spreading happiness over the lives of two people, of organically creating and passing out the happiness, it drains you in ways that you can't imagine. Or if you've experienced it, in ways you totally can't imagine and you never want to do it again. Because in a partnership that's healthy, where the man you love is happy, you're not drained. I mean, maybe you're annoyed sometimes and this and that, but the pool that you have of deep energy, of universal energy that keeps you going and keeps you refreshed and keeps you excited about life, doesn't start to get drained by trying to make someone else happy. By hoping that they will get some of this happiness for themselves so that you're not the only thing that makes them happy. You should never be the only thing that makes him happy. He should be utterly happy without you, which really means before he met you, he should have been happy. Everybody has unhappy days, unhappy thoughts, but as a general thought about the world, if before you'd ever met him, if someone had asked him really deep questions, the answers they should have gotten should be answers like, yes, I'm happy. This is why my life is great. This is what I'm excited about. Because the person I dated years and years ago, one thing that went with not being very happy was just not being excited about things. He was only ever excited about things related to me. He never had ideas of his own that he really wanted to go do. He never started things that he wanted to be a part of. And that's a problem. You don't have to be an artistically creative person, but no matter who you are, you're creative in some form. And if you don't have enough joy inside of you just to funnel that into some form so that you see things happening, it could be writing a computer program. It could be reading your favorite books. It could be being a movie buff and watching your favorite movies. It could be any of those things, those manifestations of being happy and being excited about the world and wanting to witness it and be a part of it. But if you don't have any of that, if you're not excited about life, that's not good. Because women, you will start to carry them through life. They will cling to you as though you are the happy thing for them. And then if there's ever a problem, which there will be, because there's always problems in relationships, the breakdown of your relationship will be so strange because you were the big thing that made him happy, but now he's mad at you or there's a problem or something. So his whole world is blown because he has no other stuff to fall back on that makes him feel confident and joyful in himself. So he's not going to be able to withstand the problem you're having with each other if the only pool of good energy he ever had was from you, who he's currently mad at. He's got to be enough for himself. And I know that we say that about women. Be enough for yourself. Be enough for yourself. And that is totally true. You have to be enough for yourself without him also. But we don't think about it so much with men. Maybe we imagine they already think they're enough for themselves. Or maybe we imagine that they have a different emotional profile than we do. And they do in some ways. But in many ways, they have the same needs and desires. And they need to be happy. They need to know what they love. They need to know what they like. They need to be motivated to bring new things into the world, whether it's just conversations, ideas, thoughts, physical creations. They need to be happy. Also, if you're interested in this future partner, or in this current partner, if you're interested in him being a father of your children, that's something definitely to think about. And that's something that I'm really thinking about right now, really hard, because probably the next big thing Jason and I will do will be to have a kid or two, which will be in a couple years, you know, besides hopefully making some cool business changes in our lives. That'll be the next really big, like, whoa, moment. So, you have to think about what sort of a father will he be, if that's a person that you want. If you want someone who will be a father in connection with you being a mother. You can look to his father for this a little bit. But you can also look to the way he treats your pets, if you have pets. And you can just look to his general personality. Is he willing to interact with you emotionally? Now, very often, he's not going to bring up emotional stuff. It's weird to me how men just don't do that, but they just generally don't. There's so many reasons for that. We can talk about that another time, but he's probably not going to be like the most emotional person ever and want to talk about his feelings all the time. He might. But Is he willing to talk about them when you bring them up without being like, ugh, this sucks, I hate this conversation? Is he willing to just have an open, honest conversation with you? Is he willing to open up about how he feels, even if maybe it requires some prompting? How does he respond to you when you're really upset? Whether it's because he's upset you or because you're upset about something else. Is he a nurturing person? Does he nurture you in the way that you have told him you prefer? Like, oh, I'm really sad, I'd like a hug. Or, hey, leave me alone. Because when I'm really upset, I just would rather you leave me alone for a little while so I can recover. And then I'm ready to have a conversation. Is he caring to you in that way? Being aware of emotional things that matter to you in a relationship and emotional connections that matter to you. And now as I'm speaking, I'm thinking of how so many of the things that I've mentioned, when you look at them on slightly different levels, they're also indicative of having a really great best friend partnership with perhaps your best friend in your life or a close family member who you really care about, who you're close with on a friendship level too, like having a sister that you really love and she's your best friend. Which of course leads to the fact that we all know this, but many people don't actually implement it in their own lives. Since you're planning on having a team partnership with this person, you want to spend your whole life with them, they need to be your best friends. They need to be your best friend. And perhaps they're not going to be your best friend on a way that your girlfriends are, that you're maybe that close, talking about every little detail of everything. But they need to be your best friends, the person that you can rely on the most, that you can trust the most, the person that is the most of everything. Because you're opening up your entire life to them, and you're going to build an entire world and a legacy that is going to be highly dependent upon this person. So think about that. When you are gone and you have a legacy that is left, which very many times includes your children, and then whatever other things that you've offered the world, so much of that legacy is going to be related to the partner that you've chosen for your life. So do you think that the partner you're thinking of right now is going to enhance that legacy and make it better? And make your legacy better? And make, you know, because your children are better? Or the things that you created were enhanced by his help and his love and his nurturing? Or do you think it's kind of a toss-up, you don't know? Or do you think, I don't know, I feel like he actually hinders me and my legacy? That's a whole nother thing to think about. Now, I want to talk more about this, but we've run out of time on the show today. So tomorrow, I'm going to talk more about this. We'll discuss some more ideas I have about picking a partner, because I've got a couple other ideas that I think are also really key and important and have to do with how he treats you and how he values you as a person, which is something women really have to think about in a world where women still are not valued in the same way as men. And that needs to change. And the partners we choose, we can help change that by picking partners that respect us and admire us as much as we deserve. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you tomorrow. You can email me at emma@awomanpodcast.com if you have any thoughts, if you have any questions, or if you have any ideas for a show, any topics that you really want to hear about, send it in. I'll think about it. I'll probably do it. And I'll mention you if you want to. So let me know in the email if you would like me to mention your name, or maybe your city. And I'll mention you and I'll say, this idea is given to me by Teresa from San Diego. And we'll go from there. Pretty soon, I'm going to have a Facebook page set up, so you can follow us there. And thanks for listening once again. Love talking to you guys, and I will see you tomorrow.